and now evangelist David Shannon.
We'll open your Bibles to James, the fifth chapter. James, the fifth chapter. We began looking in Bible class at the motive for our prayers. Our prayers are not something that we utter to find the praise of men. The repetition, if we have repetition in prayer, is not so men will hear it. The glory that we are seeking is not the glory of men, but all of our prayer is the outpouring of our heart to God. Then in the worship service, we looked at the prayer that Jesus prayed. They said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And He did. Oh, it was so simple. Very simple. Tonight is, again, another very simple lesson. Tonight is the result of prayer. You know, I don't know about you, but anything I do, if it's worth doing, I want to know, well, what makes it worth doing? If it's a training program, I want to know, well, how well trained am I going to be at the end of this program? And if you can't show me an end result that looks pleasing, I'm not going to take place in that program. Show me a job. If you can't show me a positive position down the road somewhere where I can say, now that's worthwhile, I don't want to work for you. You see, anything in our life, we want to look at it before we begin, and we want to say, what's the results? Is it something worthwhile? James spends in the fifth chapter a few minutes saying, let me tell you the results of prayer. Let me tell you how good prayer can be. But now let's remember tonight, we first must have the proper motive. Next, we must participate in prayer before we can have these results. Notice verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now here's the result. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Brethren, I don't know about you, but when I look at the method of communicating to God of prayer, and I'm looking for an end result, and that end result says it can heal the sick, I begin to say, I like the sound of those results. Notice what he is saying here is that there are those in verse 13 afflicted, there are those in verse 14 that are sick, and he says, call the elders. Now there are a couple of ways to interpret this. Some of their interpretation could be that perhaps some of the elders of this day still had the miraculous powers. Now that very well could be. There may not have been some power in the oil that they were anointing. I tend to believe that there was not power in the oil, because why would you call an elder if it really was for medical purposes? I think what James here is stressing is that you call those that look over you. You know, perhaps the church has been strong for too many years for us to imagine their situation. In James's day, perhaps the elders were some of the few that were stable, steadfast, and strong. And so the elders were continually having to go around from house to house and studying and praying. And still today is a good practice for us to rely upon our elders. And here James says, when you're in times of trouble, when you're in times of need, even if it's physical need, you call those that are strong, you call those that are stable, and you have them to pray for you. Well, James, why? And notice what he says there at the latter part of 16. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Is that not reason? You know, I hope all of us tonight are so motivated by that one phrase that our prayer life will be stronger. If all of us could just grasp the power in that one phrase, we all would desire a great deal to be fervent in prayer. Another thing that we also must tie into this same text to understand it properly is the latter half of 15. Notice in the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now there's a good possibility that the sickness that these people were suffering was from the fact of sin that they had been committing. Now that was a good reason to call the elders. He says, if you're suffering some kind of affliction because of sin you've been involved in, he says, have them to pray for you physically, but you have them to pray for you spiritually as well. Tonight, the results that we're looking at are twofold. Prayer can help you and I physically. Prayer can help you and I spiritually. We can't make it without prayer in any of those worlds and be successful. You and I as Christians need help from God physically, and we need help from God spiritually. When we read verse 16 in the context of the things we have just spoken of, notice how 16 will have a new meaning to you. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. So, I think it's good for us to find confidence and strength in each other. But here in this setting, what James is saying is when those elders come to you to pray for you, you tell them the faults you have. He says they need to know as they pray the faults that you have so you can be working on them, and so they, the elders, can help as they oversee you. We need to be striving to find strength in each other. Brethren, I hope we all believe with all of our heart that you can make my life better through prayer. I believe I can make your life better through prayer. And if we're going to say, you know, I don't know if I can believe that, we might as well say, James, I don't believe that the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James, I don't think you knew what you were speaking of when you said, if someone's sick, call the elders. Do you believe in the power of prayer? If you do, have you robbed anyone lately of spiritual blessings? Have you robbed anyone lately that was sick because you didn't pray for them? Have you robbed someone spiritually because they were going through tough times spiritually and you didn't pray for them spiritually? Friend, we have a duty. We have an obligation. But greater than that, we have a way to help. You know, there's so many times when I feel like my hands are tied. I see someone that's hurting and I can't think of anything to do. And I can't think of the right things to say. But you know, I can help. Because I can pray. Because the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, as I've said all the way through the study of James, he must have been an interesting preacher to listen to because he always used illustrations. Notice his illustration that he ties up this thought, 17 and 18. Elias, you and I know him better as Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are. Now, isn't it interesting the way James introduces that? They know him as Elijah the prophet. He says, he's pretty much like you and I. Even though he was a prophet, he's very similar to you and I. Notice what he says. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. For the next few minutes, let's turn to 1 Kings, and we'll close with a couple of chapters in 1 Kings. Please turn to 1 Kings, the 17th chapter. Now, it's interesting that James has spent his time speaking of physical needs that they had. They were afflicted, they were sick, and he said, call the elders and pray for them. And while those elders are there, you confess your spiritual needs and let them pray also for the spiritual needs. So James has it summed up, two parts. You need to pray for physical things, you need to pray for spiritual things. Now very quickly, we're going to scan through 17 and 18 of 1 Kings, and we're going to see that really Elijah prayed for those two things. So it's very appropriate that James would say, let me give you of an example in the Old Testament of a man. That man was Elijah. See, in the first verse, kind of introduces Elijah, and it introduces Ahab. Now, Ahab was after Elijah. It says in the latter part of verse 1, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. So God says, it's not going to rain for years because of the way the nation has been living. Now, did you notice in James what he said of Elijah? James says he asked God for it not to rain, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. Now, in this story in the Old Testament, we don't have those details. It doesn't say in the Old Testament story that he actually asked God for it not to rain. So that's a new fact to us. And it doesn't say the exact time, that it was 3 years and 6 months. But James goes ahead and he throws those points in. So keep those in mind. That's what it was about to happen. So since he goes and he speaks to Ahab and it makes Ahab very mad, he has to flee. See in verse 3, get thee hence, turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook of Cherith. Verse 6, and the ravens brought him, we're speaking of Elijah, brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank at the brook. But brethren, it's common sense, what's going to happen if you stay at a brook when it never rains? The brook is going to dry up, isn't it? So he doesn't stay there very long before the brook dries up. In verse 9, he tells him to go to another land. In verse 10, he tells him to meet a widow woman in that land. The latter part, this is what he's to say to that woman. Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in the vessel that I may drink. And as she turns to go in verse 11, he says, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she tells the story how I was just about to go back and use the last bit of my oil and the last bit of my flour. And I was going to make my little son and myself our last little biscuit. And we were going to die together. And he says, I'm a prophet of the Lord. You go and make mine first, and you'll never run out until it shall rain. You'll be taken care of. Now, brother, is that not faith? She goes, she makes his first, and he stays with that widow and their little cup of oil and their little canister of flour. It never runs out as long until after the rains. All right, so that is Elijah's first prayer, praying for it not to rain. Why did he not want it to rain? There was a serious problem in that country of they were worshiping idols. He wanted to find some way to bring the people back to God. He prayed for it not to rain so that it would save their souls spiritually. Notice what happens in verse 18. First verse, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah, and in the third year, saying, go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. Now remember, the reason he's in hiding is because Ahab has been hunting for him for 3 years. He's going to kill him. Because Ahab knows that he's the reason it hasn't rained. So he sends Obadiah after him. Obadiah and Elijah run into each other. And Elijah says, Obadiah, you go tell Ahab I'm hunting for him. He says, I can't do that. He says, if I go tell him that you're hunting for him while I'm gone to talk to him, you're going to go hiding for another 3 years and he's going to be mad at me and he's going to kill me. He says, no, you go and tell him that I want to talk to him. I'll be here. So he comes back and he talks to him about worshiping the idols. And he says, let's see how powerful your God is opposed to the Almighty God in heaven. So in verses 22 through 25, they each take an offering. And you know the story, how they put the offering and the people cry out to their God. And it doesn't work. The fire's not lit. So they begin cutting themselves and bleeding. And they begin yelling. And Elijah, he even begins to ask them in a very, I'm sure, sarcastic way. He says to them, maybe you better cry loud, because maybe your God is talking. Or maybe he's pursuing. Or maybe he's in a journey. Or pre-adventure, he sleepeth, and maybe he should be awakened. And all that really disturbs them. So they never wake up their God. Elijah takes and he puts his bullock on the offering there. And he asks them to bring in the barrels of water, and they do that three times. And they cover the ground with water, and they dig a trench out, and they fill the trench with water. And then he says a prayer, and he calls out to God. The fire's lit. The wood, all is consumed. It says that it licks up the water. And the people cry out that surely Elijah's God is the Almighty God. He goes and he prays again. And what does he pray for this time? He prays for it to rain. His people are about to die physically because they have not had rains in so long. And so he sends his man upon the mountain. He says, look to see if you see rain. He comes back. I don't see any rain. Go again. He comes back. Seven times he runs back and forth. And finally he says, it's as if a great hand reached down into the sea and the rain is coming. And his people live. It's the power of prayer. And it's that story that those people probably knew very well when James said, think about Elijah. I've just talked to you about physical needs. I've just talked to you about spiritual needs. He saved his nation spiritually, then he turned around and he prayed again and he saved them physically. I ask you tonight and myself as well, have I ever saved anyone because I prayed? Have I ever saved anyone spiritually because I prayed? That's what James is teaching here. That we have a responsibility and we have power in prayer. Tonight, what's your motive in prayer? What's your content in prayer? If those two are right, you'll have the results of being someone that is a powerful being in prayer because of the help of God. If you're not right with the Lord, you don't have that power in prayer. Let's all make sure tonight that when we lay our head on the pillow, we can say a prayer to God, and it will be powerful, not because of our being, but because of the Almighty God that we're praying to. If we can pray with you tonight, if we can help you in any way, won't you come as we stand, as we sing?